Right, welcome to our service this morning. And there's just one or two quick things, but it is good to gather together to worship God. And we're looking at the beginning of John's chapter today, and we looked at the beginning of Matthew's chapter last week, which made me start thinking about beginnings. The beginnings of books, the beginnings of services are very important. And the beginnings of how you arrive in a building are very important. And I hope every one of you has been welcomed in some way or another today. And I hope you've managed to say hello to somebody today. I know there are people who sneak in last minute and then sneak out just after the last hymn, who are very difficult to catch to say hello to. But it's good to be here. And beginnings are important. And it's very, very difficult leading a service to work out where to put the notices. Because some people in the building, if they're visiting, actually don't want to know about this, this, and this. Sometimes we want to start a service and we want people to draw in to worship God. And if I break it with a load of notices, that doesn't work. I tried putting notices on a loop before the service, which I know some people read, and I also know that some people don't read. We're going to try an experiment today. I'm going to put the notices up at the end of the service after we've done the blessing. But that's a risk, because I don't want you to forget what's happened in the service. I throw it over to you folk, please. I would be glad of feedback. I cannot go back to doing a weekly notice sheet. Besides that, there is still the old joke that if you want something to not go round the congregation, put it on the notice sheet. Yes? But there is always information that we want to get over to you and remind you of. I will say now, but it will be on the list at the end, there won't be any coffee or tea after the service, but next week we are going to try having team coffee again, particularly because we've got a church meeting for the members following that. And we're going to try and ask you to actually sit at tables and serve people and just see if that stops people gathering. The deacons have been thinking through different ways because we want to be inclusive, but we don't want people bunching up around the hatch. Now, what that means is we have Bev and Stephen signed up to do coffee. There is no way that those two can actually take coffee round as well. So please, if you are able to actually help serve the coffee, then, you know, just go up and say, I'll take a tray, and just take a tray round, and we'll see how that does. We've just got to be careful at the minute. I know the COVID stuff is supposed to be waning, but I think for the next month or so, we're still going to have to be careful and look after each other. The other thing to say on the back is a set of daily reflections, the week of prayer for Christian unity. First day of it is Tuesday the 18th, this Tuesday. If you like to read daily reflections, they're well thought through. They've got a prayer and a Bible passage. They're at the back, and if we run out at the back, let me know. I have printed some off. Beginnings. Let me come back. Let's get on with the service. Do you know the phrase, I've started, so I'll finish? I don't think we've heard it for ages, have we? Where's it from? Mastermind. Okay. I like this one. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And sometimes that first bit is the hardest, isn't it? Or Martin Luther King Jr. wrote, you don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. sometimes I think in the Christian life, it's better not to know what's around the corner. But God asks us to just walk with Him, step by step. This is one of my favourite though. The victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. A series of new beginnings. And if you think of it, our life goes on, doesn't it? And we moved on to something else. God opens up doors. There's another beginning. And that goes on through. That's written by Alexander White, who was a minister in Edinburgh in the 1800s. And he said, no matter what mistakes we may make, the worst mistake is not to try again. Or put another way, the perseverance of the saints is falling down and getting up. Falling down and getting up. Falling down and getting up. And that is true. We come to God, He forgives us. He's at work in our lives. And He calls us to go on with Him. Our first song is one that you might not recognise. The tune you will definitely know. Songs of Thankfulness and Praise. And it links to beginnings, the beginning of Jesus at the birth, and it links to what we're looking at in the service too. Thank you.
Jesus, Lord, to You we pray. is from John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made but has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was made in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you, Phil. An amazing passage, and very different from the other Gospels, as many of you know. Phil talked about last week that Matthew is the most Jewish Gospel, and his aim there was to prove to his Jewish readers that Jesus was a Jew, with his family line going back to Abraham, and that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, the promised one from King David's line. John's Gospel takes a different tack. He explores who Jesus was and what it all means. In other words, gives us a theological narrative. It's very likely he knew the other Gospels, so he rarely repeats what they say, but adds information to it. And John himself wrote these words: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. That's from John chapter 20. But the start of the Gospel. Yes? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all people. Incredible words. John doesn't just take us back to Abraham or to David. He takes us right back in time, before the world began. But that beginning also echoes the beginning of Genesis. Genesis starts with the words in our translation of in the beginning. Genesis says in the beginning, God. And in Genesis it talks about God speaking. In John's Gospel we have Jesus is the Word, the spoken Word. So in the beginning, God created, and we have the Word. So the first thing we learn is that the Word is eternal. He's always existed. He's part of the Trinity. He's found as fully God and fully man in the baby at Bethlehem. There's nothing beyond him, nothing before, nothing after, and nothing more. He is the eternal Word. And we also see in that beginning of John's Gospel that he's creating. He's the creating Word. John shows that Jesus is God's agent in bringing everything into being. Whether huge mountain ranges or tiny ants, whether elephants or moss, everything owes its existence to Jesus and is sustained by him. So that's the first thing that John uses, is Word. The second thing he uses is light. And John says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone is coming into the world. Do you remember power cuts? Some of you are all here. Yes. And candles. Very true. Wasn't it lovely when you had a power cut, you rummaged around and you finally got that candle lit? You know, there was a feeling of, at last, we've got some light in this place. I don't know, I seem to always remember it being dark in a power cut. I presume we have power cuts in the day, but they always seem to be the dark ones I remembered. But every candle makes a difference. And I like this old proverb. It possibly is Chinese, but people don't really seem to know where it comes from. It's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Even one candle, even one spark, makes a difference in the darkness. So, light. Jesus is the light of the world, the true light. John talks about Jesus being the light shining in the darkness. And again, these are Old Testament references coming in. There's echoes of creation when God spoke and light came into the darkness. And the other Old Testament reference that John uses is about John the Baptist, and talks about him coming before the Messiah coming. So John came, he challenged people, and he baptized Jesus. So Jesus is the light shining in the darkness. And John, the Gospel writer, tells us that Jesus is the light of the world, the Word of life, and he is the true light that brings light to everyone who receives it. Jesus has come to earth. He's a light shining in the spiritual darkness. But the other thing that goes with light, as well as getting rid of darkness, it reveals things that are hidden. So there's that other aspect of it. It brings a challenge, and it brought conflict as the powers of darkness on this world didn't like it. They waged war against the light. John 1 verse 5 says, light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. A more literal translation would be this: and the light keeps on shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it or understood it. Jesus, the light, is far more powerful than any darkness in this world, any darkness we will ever meet. The light shone in the darkness on that first Christmas. And the death of Jesus on the cross did not destroy the light. Powers of darkness thought they had won, but the light did not go out, and instead it spread more. And today, Jesus continues to shine in this world, particularly through us his people through the church around the world, bringing the light of the gospel around the world. And that is our mission. That's what we should be doing. So John describes Jesus as the Word, describes him as the light, and also he describes him, he doesn't use the word Emmanuel, but as Emmanuel. In verse 14, John writes, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus knows what it's like to be human. But there's a little bit more than this. I love that phrase, "he made his dwelling among us." That's the one we've got in front of us. Another translation puts it, "the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us." Pitched his tent with us, if you like, coming alongside us. And the Message version puts it, "the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood." He knows what it's like. And he's with us. And he cares about us. Jesus becoming human meant he got his hands dirty. He did things that even the religious leaders would not do. Such as touch a leper. Eat with tax collectors. When I met parents at parents' evening, that usually gave me a good indication of the student, because I would usually see some characteristics of the student I've been trying to teach in the parents. And I can remember one lad, wonderful sense of humour, and when I met his parents, I could understand, because they were great. And they had that lovely banter sense of humour as well. And clearly the child teenager had developed that as well. There were other characteristics which were not so pleasant at times. But most cases, the student was like the parents. And Jesus is Emmanuel, and he makes God known to us. His characteristics are God's characteristics. God is shown through Jesus. There is a sense, I can probably say, that God is Christ-like, because Christ shows us God totally in what he did, what he said. Jesus, the Word, speaks to us of God. Jesus Christ is God's Word to reveal God's heart and God's mind to us. The other thing he does is challenges us. And there's the bits in verses 10 to 13 which talk about him coming to the world, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own didn't recognize him. Jesus' coming was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was prepared for. There were many passages, but few recognized him as the Messiah. Those who recognized became children of God. Not from their own efforts, but because of God's love. We become children of God, not because we've earned it, because we've passed a test or an exam, but because of what God has done for us, and that we put our trust in him, and God accepts us. So Jesus makes God known to us. He challenges us, and he also calls us to be lights. This time, Matthew's Gospel. Jesus said to the disciples, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl." Think in those power cuts, wouldn't you have been stupid to have lit a candle and put it under a bowl? It wouldn't have helped one bit. People don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl, instead they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We're coming to communion in a few moments, but first of all we're going to sing a song, "You're the Word of God the Father from before the world began." And it talks about your cry of love brings out across the lands. That's a challenge to us, because we're the people. We're the people here. We're the people that are part of a wide church in all countries who are called to bear witness to the light, to the world. Thank you, guys.
Come and join me, please. It's my pleasure to lead us in communion this morning. In this church, we invite all who know the Lord to join us for communion. The deacons will come to you and present a saucer on which there is a cube of bread and a little glass of wine. And we will say some words. I'll say some words, and we will take the bread, and I'll say a few more words, and then we will take the wine, and we will do that together. Of course, you can move your mask for communion. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. We're going to pray together some old words, but some very true words. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm now going to ask Chris and Maureen if they would distribute the bread. You'll just put it down at the side of you for the moment, and then we will say some words, and we will eat and then drink. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. That I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You will take the bread, and we will eat. In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us drink together. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this simple meal of bread and wine, and what they mean. Your body and your blood given for us. We have taken, we have eaten, and that food, the bread and the wine, has now become part of us. In that same way, Lord, we pray that you, with your Holy Spirit, might become part of our very being, that we live to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. We say together, "Your death, O Lord, we commemorate, your resurrection we confess, your final coming we await. Glory be to you, O Christ. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again." Hold it on. And let us come together in our prayers of intercession. Lord, we pray for the world in which we live. You came as a light into the darkness. And we pray, Lord, that lights would shine and shine brightly. Where there is wrong, that right would prevail. Where there is injustice, that justice would come. Where there is harm and hurt, there would be healing and wholeness. We pray, Lord, for the tsunami in the Pacific that happened yesterday. And Lord, we don't know the full extent of what's happened, particularly in the island nation of Tonga. We pray for the people there. We pray for them, Lord. We pray for other countries who are now sending help and looking to rescue. We pray, Lord, that lives will have been spared. Properties will not have been devastated, and we pray, Lord, that there will not be any more of these eruptions or tsunamis. In our own country, Lord, the newspapers seem to be full of sleaze and scandal. Lord, we're so ashamed. We would pray, Lord, for truth, for integrity. We would pray, Lord, for our leaders, that they would govern wisely and well, conscious of the interests of all. We thank you for all the good things you give us, We thank you for our homes, our loved ones, our families and our friends. We thank you for this church, Lord, for Laura as our pastor, and for being a witness, a light here in this part of the town. We pray, Lord, for those who need a special touch of your love, those we know from the fellowship who are unwell, those who are feeling their age, those who can no longer do the things that they would long to do. We pray for them, Lord, that they would know a touch of your love, that they would feel your presence as much as we are aware of everybody else here in this room with us. Lord, we don't pretend that these are all our prayers, but we bring them to you knowing that you hear and that you long to answer. Amen. Next one, please. Oh. I do beg your pardon, you did do. Right, absolutely right. And that's what I did, yeah. We're now going to come to the hymn. Shine, Jesus, shine. You, Lord, the light of your love is shining.
Shine on me.
you will join the words in bold, from where we are to where you need us, Jesus, now lead on. From the security of what we know to the adventure of what you will reveal, Jesus, now lead on. To refashion the fabric of the world until it resembles the shape of your kingdom, Jesus, now lead on. Because good things have been prepared for those who love God, Jesus, now lead on. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest and remain with you and on all those whom you love, this morning and forevermore. Amen.